Grace you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I just don't know who they are, and I don't know what they base that on. But I do know that I like breakfast, so I'm not going to argue. It's one of my three most favorite meal periods. The top three. When I worked in food service on college campuses, we actually talked about four meal periods a day. There was breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then what we call late night dining. Eating after 9 o'clock at night, which most of us wouldn't dare to do because we'd get acid reflux and are going to bed by 9:30. But eating after 9 o'clock is very popular with college students. So popular, in fact, that we always had at least one dining option available from 9 p.m. to midnight, Sunday through Thursday nights. And on those days, we would have three times as many people come to late night dining as we would to breakfast. And the theory was that if you as a grown-up, a mature adult-type person, were uncomfortable at late night dining, that meant it was probably a success because the students were really comfortable because the music would be loud, and as a manager, you'd go in, nobody's in uniform, they're not following the rules, but they're having a great time. So I tried never to go to late night dining because it was late and it just aggravated me. But they were having a good time and nobody died, so it was okay. Anyway, I guess if you're a student and you don't get up till noon, lunch is really breakfast, right? Dinner's really lunch, and late night dining is dinner. So you got your three meal periods there. I, however, like breakfast. I like breakfast foods. I like going out to breakfast. I like to drink a cup of hot coffee while I'm eating breakfast. And I like pastries. Breakfast desserts. What a great idea. Breakfast is the only meal that you can eat dessert with your meal, and nobody's going to shame you for it. I've actually even ordered a cinnamon roll when we've been out to breakfast and asked them to bring it out before they serve the breakfast, and so had dessert kind of as an appetizer, and that seemed to be okay. On Friday, my mom and I went out to breakfast to the Tower Cafe, and I had their French toast. I don't normally get their French toast. My mom normally does, and I eat part of hers, but on this instance, I normally get the huevos rancheros, thanks for asking, and I highly recommend them. Anybody been to Tower Cafe? I recommend it. It's on Broadway and the Tower Theater, yada yada. You might have to wait because it's pretty popular. Their French toast is unbelievable. So it's like 3 inches thick. So if you think of Texas toast, which you get in a lot of diners, right? It's like two slices of Texas toast on top of each other. That's how thick it is. And they make it out of challah bread, and they cut it, it's that thick, it's like this, and then they soak it, I don't even know, for a day or two, in in eggs and cream, so that the inside is so moist and rich. The outside, they cook on a low heat, so it's caramelized, and it is delicious. And you get to eat it with your eggs and potatoes and call it a meal, even though it pretty much is dessert. So sign me up. I can't get enough. It's sort of like having your cake and getting to eat it too, all at the same time. And I do recommend the coffee because that helps cut through. I like to think it helps to cut through the sugar and cholesterol a little. Like it helps with that hot beverage, it helps it all go down a little, not get clogged in any of those. Anyway, I don't know how all that part works, but it's delicious. However, I am not sure that that's the bread that Jesus was talking about in the Lord's Prayer. It tastes really good, but I'm not sure if that's what he had in mind. Today is our second of four Sundays on the Lord's Prayer. Last week, we looked at the opening and the first three petitions, and today we focus our attention upon the fourth. Give us this day our daily bread. Luther, in his small catechism, writes that God does give daily bread, even without our prayer. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving. God gives us our daily bread even without prayer, but in this prayer we ask that God would help us to recognize what that daily bread is and then to receive it with thanksgiving. Luther goes on to explain that daily bread is everything included in the necessities and nourishment of our bodies. And then he provides a list of examples, although not exhaustive, and I haven't even included his whole list here. But he includes things like food and drink, shelter, livestock, money, relationships, peace. Again, things that are good for us, good for our bodies, honor, faithful neighbors, and the like. For this petition is a reminder for us that God is the creator and giver of everything good, and that we are the recipients of that which God has created. Now, God doesn't need to be reminded of this. God already knows. But this prayer is prayed to remind us that we need to acknowledge God as the giver of every good and perfect gift. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and in doing so, we are reminded that God has provided for us as God did for the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness in search of the promised land. You remember the story? You remember the story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness? Anybody? A few weeks ago, I showed my age when I was teaching the Sunday school students about Holy Communion, and we were talking about Passover, and I was trying to help them remember the Israelites in Egypt, and then Moses leading them out. And I asked them, like, well, you guys all saw the movie, the Disney movie, Prince of Egypt, right? Anybody here seen it, aside from Nancy's seen it? You must have seen it. Yeah, so it's kind of like the first service. You guys are looking at me with blank stares. So did the kids. Because it turns out that movie came out 26 years ago when my kids were little. So the kids today have no idea about that movie, never seen it. But it used to be a great reminder to the kids, oh, by the way, if you've seen this movie, you've actually learned a Bible story. But they haven't, so they haven't. So I told them to read the book instead. Anyway, it's a good book, the book of Exodus. Well, we read a part of that story this morning. The people had complained to Moses about not having food to eat, so Moses took their concerns to God, and in response, God provided the Israelites with manna every morning. But they were told to only gather what they needed for the day. This was a lesson for them that they needed to trust in God's daily provision for them. And when they did gather more than they needed for the day and they tried to save some for the next day, it bred worms and it became foul, so that they learned the lesson to only gather as much as they needed for the day. And when it was clear that the bread was not enough, God then sent quail in the evening, so they had meat to eat also. I don't know what the vegetarians ate, but I'm sure God provided for us as well. Thanks. They were, however, permitted to gather enough for 2 days on the sixth day of the week so that they didn't have to gather on the seventh or the Sabbath day. Remember, the Israelites had just come out of Egypt where they had endured 400 years of slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. They had just been given the Ten Commandments by God to tell them how to live in relationship with God and relationship with each other, and they had just been given the gift of the Sabbath day to say, you don't need to work all 7 days, gather enough on the sixth day, so that on the seventh you may rest and God may rest, because he had provided on the sixth day for them. So when we pray for our daily bread, we are reminded that God has provided for God's people in the wilderness as God continues to provide for us today. Now our gospel reading this morning comes from the Sermon on the Mount, which is where in Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer to those who are gathered on the Mount as a model for their prayers and ours. And he tells the crowd, Jesus tells the crowd, not to worry about their lives, about what they will eat or drink or wear, because life is more than food and body and clothing. Now, being told by Jesus not to worry is a bit like being told you shouldn't think about a warm, fresh-baked chocolate chip cookie coming out of the oven. Don't think about it. Don't think about that French toast that I described at Tower Cafe. Just don't think about it. Don't. Easy, right? Once you've been given the suggestion, it's nearly impossible for us as humans to not think about the thing we were told not to think about. Jesus says, don't worry, as if we will be able to just not worry. But in fact, he wants us to not worry because he wants us to trust in God's provision for us. Don't worry about the details of your daily life, what you will eat or drink or wear. Instead, trust the God who has created all the beautiful things, all the delicious things that you can imagine. God has created them to provide for you. And acknowledge that all you have and all you are gifts from God. This is the point of this petition, Luther has explained. For God does provide, whether we ask God, whether we believe in God or not, God did and does provide for us through creation. It isn't just believers who actually receive nourishment from God's creation. All of God's creation is supported by God's creation. But what God asks for in return is that we acknowledge God, that we believe in God, that we trust in God's provision. God's daily provision for us. Now, last week we talked about we may not get what we want, but we get what we need. We get what we need to fulfill God's will for our lives. God's kingdom come, God's will be done, we read last week, both in us and through us. And so to that end, God provides for us daily. Daily bread, daily oxygen, daily water to drink, so that we might live lives that reflect God's love, that reflect God's provision, that reflect God's kingdom come. And in addition to receiving the daily bread that the petition requests, we acknowledge and give thanks for God's provision by saying thanks to God every time we eat. Right? Every time you eat, you say grace. Our preschool, I think, does a great job of modeling this. They not only sing a table blessing before lunch, they sing one before their morning snack and their afternoon snack. Who here says a little grace before you have a snack? All right, Remy, keep up the good work. I hadn't even really thought about it till I was thinking about what they do. And as I was writing, finishing my sermon yesterday morning, I had just finished a granola bar and I was drinking a cup of coffee. And I'm like, maybe I should have thanked God for that as I write these lines of my sermon. Now, admittedly, we were much better at saying grace in our family when our kids were at home. We modeled good habits for them. not so much anymore. In fact, when our kids were home and we went to seminary, I decided we needed to step up the game. I'm in seminary now. We can't just pray, God is great, God is good. It's a good prayer, don't get me wrong. Say it, use it, it's a good one. But I'm like, I'm going to seminary. We gotta wow people. I know we talked about that before. Don't pray so other people be impressed. But I was looking to impress. So I looked in Luther's Small Catechism, and the table blessing that we use is from Luther's Small Catechism, and we began saying that while we were in seminary. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us and these your gifts which we receive from your bountiful goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's easier to say it when you're sitting there, Rob, than when you're, oh my God. Our kids memorized it. If you came to dinner at our house, if you were a high school friend of one of our kids, Robin had made cards and we handed it to them and they could say it with us and they knew to look for those cards. We were great. We were. We don't even sit at the table to eat anymore. We eat dinner at TV trays. We're in the same room with each other. And so much for saying grace. The point is, we have gotten away from the habit of giving God thanks every day for our daily bread. I confess, and I lumped you in there, Robin. Maybe you do it, I just don't notice. We've gotten out of the habit. It was important to us while we were modeling it for our kids. But we have gotten out of the habit, and we shouldn't have. We should acknowledge and give God thanks every time we eat or drink or even have a snack, right? In all things and for all things, we should give thanks to God. For in doing so, we acknowledge God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. We give thanks that God loves us and provides for us even more than those beautiful lilies of the field. For God has given daily bread to our ancestors in the wilderness, and God continues to provide, so that we don't need to worry about tomorrow and what it might bring, but instead we should trust and praise God for today's provision. For it is enough. It is enough. Amen.